you know where to go, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to take up right where we left off. I'm so glad you came back tonight. That's a kind of a good sign. I was a little worried there. Amen. Amen. So here we are. I don't think we need to recap, just in case any of you were here. I mean, it's just, seriously, we need to look at Scripture for what it's teaching us. And that's the whole point of these series of messages, is actually taking a real look at what Scripture says about the subject of faith promise or grace giving. And when you think about it that way, you just know, okay, the tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is not what we're talking about. And we're not talking about love offerings, and we're not talking about free will offerings or any other offerings of any kind. There is a specific grace gift that the church needs to get together, decide what they're going to give, and then give it for the furtherance of the gospel, to get the gospel out of these doors and out wherever it is. It can be in Jerusalem, it could be in Judea, or to Samaria, or to the uttermost parts of the earth. All of that is mission work that this church should be doing, is commanded to do, and is doing. Hallelujah. I'm really happy about that part. You is doing it. Amen. Amen. But don't pat yourself on the back yet. I am so tickled about what the pastor said about, hold on, just before you make up your mind, please let the Scripture talk to you this week. Wait until Wednesday. Wait it out, because there's some fun stuff coming. Really changed my mind. And this whole aspect of faith, promise, missions, giving, or grace giving, I was just blown away at what Scripture actually had to say. After listening to all these preachers preach, so you're not listening to me preach, you're listening to the Word of God talk, okay? Amen. I'm totally convinced. I left off at verse 7 of chapter 8, right? Let's pick up in verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now he's talking to the church again here, right? We're right back to talking to the church at Corinth, which is just like the church right here at Paclet, right? What is this, Morning Star? He's talking to you. He is. He said, I want to prove the sincerity of your love. Y'all say you love the Lord? You say you love mission work? You excited about these missionaries that are here? We love you. We say that. It just flows out. We love you. Brother, yeah, amen. El Salvador, crazy. Crazy, man, he's crazy. I'm glad he's going and not me, right? Can I get an amen there? We'll support you, brother. Go there and that, man, and in Peru, hallelujah. You go on down there with those Indians in the jungle. That's exciting ministry, right? Well, there's also mosquitoes and boa constrictors and gators and all kinds of stuff in the river, and there's stuff that eat you, chew you up and spit you out. But you want to go there, tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. We ought to get behind that, you know, amen. I don't want to go, so I'll support them. I know what it's like. Come on, that's the way we are. We think that way, whether you want to say it out loud. I'm just talking for you, right? Yeah, let them go, them young people, waster. I got other fish to fry. So Paul's saying, no, put your money where your mouth is. Let me hear where your love is. Let me see how much you really love. I'm going to prove your love. And then what did he go to? My second example. So the first example we got about grace giving was the churches of Macedonia, right? He listed, he talked about their deep poverty. He talked about the riches of their liberality and how in great affliction, a trial and everything, they gave above and beyond what seemingly with the eyes of men said, that's not possible. That little church over there in Paclet, there ain't no way they got missionaries in all seven continents. They do. They got the voice at least on the seventh. I heard all about it. I know how it works out now. I appreciate that little explanation that the voice of the gospel at least gets to that island, to the scientists that are down there playing with penguins. And they wrote back and said, we got the message. We hear it on shortwave radio. We hear the message, and you're all supporting that. So you are getting you've got a voice in all seven continents. I'm jealous. I got to support this radio station too. Amen. No, it's all good for the glory of God. I mean, but where is your love there? The churches of Macedonia were a great example. They were poor, they weren't rich, and they were accomplishing much for Christ. And Paul was bragging on them. But he said, hey, if that's not a good enough example, if it ain't good enough for y'all, I got a better one. Amen. What about Jesus himself? Yes. For you know, verse 9, the grace, and he used the same term, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. How about that example? Y'all talking about we ain't got the funds, we don't have the resources, we don't have anything. What about the King of Kings? What about the one that left the throne of glory, I mean his position of glory, and came down here and tabernacled among men, took on a robe of flesh and suffered everything we suffered. He suffered, he went through every single thing we could possibly imagine to demonstrate to us this can be done. You can live this life and you can live it for Christ and not worry about the consequences or what everybody's saying or what everybody's doing or how everything's affecting you. Stop crying. I know you're not crying. I'm just talking in general. I'm really not talking at you. Isn't that what it is, though? I mean, today everybody's crying about their problems, crying about what they can't do. Jesus came here and showed us what you can do with nothing. He had nothing to his name, not a pillow to lay his head on, everything. But even, I'm telling you, he loved people, and he just gave his life to serve people. And he said, hey, what about that example? You want to give yourself first? That's what you ought to do. Emulate his life. Act just like him. Serve people. Give of yourself to the needs of others. That's all he ever did. He was everywhere he went. He was looking. What are the needs? Who needs me? Who needs the word? Who needs the gospel more than anybody else? And he just did that. And didn't worry about any nest eggs or IRAs. And but he's God, brother. He didn't have to worry about that. No, he lived as a man just to show us the way, right? This was the example. This was his grace giving. He gave by grace also. He's a perfect example of a grace gift. I could do this. I could be over here in glory with the angels praising me, but I chose to leave the riches, to become poor for your sake, that you might become rich. So if you ever put this in perspective, that's example now Paul's trying. This is a tough one for me, because there's no way around this. You can't argue with this. You can't fight. You can debate it. Man, if I really want to be a good grace giver, that means that this is going to be the most important thing in my life. Amen. Mission outreach program of this church. That's going to be top. That's going to be right up there with everything else I do. We already learned about that, right? Well, this is kind of it. This is it. Everything in a nutshell is what Jesus did. He devoted his entire life to bringing the gospel, the good news, to those that need it. I came to seek and to save those which are lost. Isn't that what Jesus said? And then when he left here, what did he say? As the Father has sent me, even so, send I you. So that's the call from Jesus himself. A great example of grace giving is you serving others and giving everything you have that they might hear the gospel and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what this life is all about. That's what our lives are supposed to be dedicated to. But when I stop and analyze my life, you know, I still like the finer things of life. I'm still spending a lot of time and a lot of energy, a lot of resources in creating a little comfort area for me, my family, my own, everything, my nest egg, everything. I'm really putting a lot of effort in this world, and I'm not supposed to. This world is not my home. Just a passing through. So here is the perfect example of somebody that just came here, did the job, and went home. That's where everything was waiting for him. That's where your riches and glory are. Come on, you lay up your treasures in heaven, not here. So that means that includes your money, that your resources, your time, everything you have. If you invested in the work of God, you will not regret it, and you won't lose anything. We all think, I don't have enough to invest. Yes. Everything you can, it's up to you. The decision is yours of how much you want to invest. You can invest it all and live like, oh, no, we can't do that. That's too much to ask, brother. I'm just throwing all this out there because this is what affected me. This is what I stopped and thought about when I was starting to read these passages. Wow, yeah, if I compare myself to the life of Christ, there's no comparison. I still like my life. I like to enjoy my cars and trucks and bikes and boats and razors and other toys that big boys play with?
Yeah.
And you ladies don't laugh at. You have all your... Man, the money that goes out. Yeah. On all kinds... I'm sorry, I won't do... I won't... You've gone to meddling. All right, so let's get back to it. The example of Jesus is an incredible example. It just took one verse to say it. He was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Let's help to get others enriched in Christ.
Amen.
And if it causes our poverty, so be it.
Amen.
Isn't that what he's saying?
Good,
verse 10, and herein I give my advice. Now we're going to listen to Paul. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. I love this verse. Do you know whether this is the first example and illustration of an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference in Scripture? Oh, you all knew that? I thought I was the first one to find that. Everybody said, no, we've seen that. You did this, you promised a year ago that you were going to give this grace gift. Let's get busy. Isn't that what a Faith Promise Missions Conference is all about? It's just somebody getting up here encouraging you. Hey, didn't you say something about this a year ago?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How'd that work out for you?
Go ahead.
Did you give? Did you learn God's faithful?
Yeah.
Did you realize it works?
Amen.
There's just two or three saying amen here. I'm a little bit concerned. Everybody's supposed to be, yeah, bro, yeah, there's no doubt about it. God's good. God, hallelujah. He did. He filled in the gap when there was a problem. We didn't think, I don't know how we're going to do it, honey. I don't know. We can't pay bills and give Faith Promise this month. I don't know. Does that ever happen in your family? Come on. I'm one of you, remember? I want to go down there and sit and talk to myself. Because that's what it's like. I want us to be real with each other. It's not just about somebody standing up here and telling you what to do. It's, man, what are we doing with the grace of God that he's bestowed on us? This is a wonderful thing, and you have to get your head wrapped around it. That's what it's all about, the grace, the gift of grace. He gave himself by grace. Now we're to give of ourselves by grace. It's a grace gift. So he said, what you thought about a year ago, come on. He said, now, therefore, perform the doing of it. Verse 11, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which you have. Now here we're getting into dangerous territory in verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not.
Amen.
You know, that verse flies in the face of most everything I was taught about Faith Promise as a young man. 30, 40 years ago, everybody was talking about this magic formula. I know you don't have the money, but if you just pray and by faith, trust God, you give this amount, he'll give it through you what you don't have. And I like that thought. I'm not against that thought, but this verse kind of flies in the face of that. He said, it's not according to what you don't have. It's according to what you have. You need to lay all your cards on the table and say, this is what I have. This is what I'm made of. This is everything I am. Everything I own, everything. We're going to give a portion of that to the mission outreach portion program of this church. That's the decision you're to make, not some... I'm going to trust you, Lord, and, you know, I'm going to write this check for money I don't have, and you're going to make it happen. Be careful about, I like putting the Lord to the test, but in this case, he's not saying do that. He's saying, I want what you have, not what you don't have. Mm-hmm. That's a little tough preaching right there, I don't know. But, I mean, this gets real, and I looked at that, and I go, you're right. What the problem is... Of all the things we have, we love to separate everything and put them in categories. This is untouchable. This is I got to have this and this. And then what's left, we decide out of that, this is what I could probably give the Lord. And that's not the way to do it. He said, first, there must be a willing mind. Your mind really has to be transformed to the idea of, wow, if I honestly... Listen, if I looked at myself in the mirror, all of my needs come first. They really do. What I want, what I'm striving for, what I'm working for, my family, myself, my needs and wants, my toys I want to buy. I'm an Amazon Prime shopper. Hello? Listen, They talked about gambling and all that. There's trouble. If you're a primie, it is so easy. And they make it a little easy button, too. You know, they just press one button and it's done. It's made. You don't have to enter information. You don't have to do nothing. You're all there. Just, ooh, I want that. And on its way in a day or two, you might even have one day delivery. You're really uptown. Come on, are you all with me on this? We'll do that in a heartbeat. Not even give it a second thought. Ooh, I need that. And you'll talk yourself into it. And I'm telling you, and how do I know this? I'm addicted. I am absolutely addicted to shopping on the computer. It's so easy. I don't have to get in the car. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to stand there and kill my back while my honey looks over everything for 2 hours. I just push a button and it comes to the door. I think the devil's in it. Listen, what's happening is a lot of extra resources, they're all being spent on me and what I want. When I think, I'm not thinking about, Lord, what's first, what is a priority in my mind? Where is my mind associated with this, what we're talking about? My mind, I'm telling you, that's in last place. I'm all thinking about me, my life, my family, my wants, my wishes, my needs. Everything comes first. And then, oh yeah, do I got anything? Sorry, Lord, you understand. Am I the only one that struggles? You all looking at me like, I mean, everybody, no, that's not me. So you're all wonderful. You've got it all planned out, and number one right off the top is your faith promise check, your tithe check, everything's put aside. We love the Lord. I'm so excited when we get the paycheck. That's first to go out. I like that idea, but that's really not reality with the majority of people. It really isn't, and it should be. He's saying your mind has got to be wrapped around that this is number one, the work of God. The furtherance of the gospel is number one in our lives as children of God. That's number one. And he'll take care of all the rest. He promised. That's an easy amen and a hard one to put into practice, right? Because we all know reality, brother. You don't know where I live and what I go through. And I knew, I really do, because I do too. The point is, I think our minds are so easily, we're just so swayed with, no, I have to have this, I got it, these are all necessities, and I'll deal with what I got over here when I get to that point. That's not, we're doing this all backwards. He's saying this is, grace giving is number one in my mind. What can I give to the Lord? And I might have to give till it hurts. It might be a sacrifice. It might be, you know, he's saying, they gave beyond their ability, these churches, the examples, right? Beyond, what does that mean to you? That just means, you know, just by the first glance, there's no way you could have gave that much money. It's like how we judge one another. How could you give that? How could you do that? You don't have that kind of. And the person could just say, yeah, it's the Lord. Amen. By grace, I was able to do this. And you make up your mind. You decide where that line is. But we got to start thinking that way first. Now, I just love it. Let's look at the rest of this. And he's going to explain it so clearly. I was always confused. I just want to be honest with you. This whole next, like, six verses in a row, why is that in there? But listen, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which puts the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And don't go searching to find out who that brother is. Nobody knows. There are a million ideas out there. John, because he's the disciple Jesus loved. Could have been Luke, because he was always in the missionary party. Could have been Mark. It could have been Stephen. What? Aren't you Zen? Did you have to go somewhere? I just stopped you. You sure? Because you're like got the praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, right? Everybody loves Stephen. It's true, right? Everybody knows that crazy man. No. Sorry, I just had to pin him down before he was running. Made a run for it. Listen, do you see what he's saying here? He's laying it out. Among all the church brethren, all of us, there are poor, there are rich, more affluent, less affluent. So when we're talking about money, everybody doesn't give the same amount. And it doesn't need to be that way. And you don't have to compare yourselves among yourselves at all. All you got to do is talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I really want to do this and I want to be a blessing to you. This is our salary and this is all I figure we can afford. Then he's happy with that. And you have to be happy with that. It's not about a certain figure that's written on the paper. Don't think that way. Think, because he said, those that have, they've gathered a lot, they had none left over. Exactly the amount that was supposed to be given was given. And those that gathered little had no lack. So exactly the amount they were supposed to give, they gave, and everything, they had no lack. That's such a good formula. There's nothing that says, you know, we all have to compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not the way it happens. So there's equality here. The ones that give less are covered by the ones that give more. And it's all for the glory of God. So nobody should feel ashamed about the little you're given or the lot you're given. Don't be prideful about the lot you're given either. Because that's the same direction, just from both ways. Don't look at it that way. So I really like this little explanation. And then he said, so... Verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. And he used that same term again, this grace, to administer this grace. It's a grace gift, right? Avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Of our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and of the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Did you get that whole thing? That is so exciting to me. You know what he's saying? Really, in a nutshell, he's saying like this. Because there are people that sit in the audience during missions conference, and the guy gets up there, and they have jokes about the missionaries, you know? Yeah. Yeah, what's a missionary handshake? Have you ever seen that one? That's a missionary handshake, right? Come on. None of you are like that. You all are such spiritual giants. I don't get this. How did I run into this church? There's nobody back here thinking, have little sayings about, you know, missionaries. They had to go on the mission field because they couldn't get a real job. You don't talk like that. You don't think like that. Come on, I've heard those things with my own ears because I was one. I am a missionary still. I'm a global missionary on designated funds. I still am in that position. I travel all over the world. 6 months out of the year, I'm still traveling. And I still get sometimes some people in the back talking. Yeah, always got their hand out. Always wanting something. And do you know what? That isn't a new problem. That's exactly what Paul was talking about. Amen. We're getting this grace gift here. Now, and Titus is so excited about it, he's running around. He's coming to you to let you know to get that gift, you know. You promised this, so, and we're going to administer it, you know. So don't have questions about Titus. He's not going to steal the money. And don't have questions about us or any of my fellow helpers. We're here for the right reason. We love God and we want to serve God and we're going to make sure this all gets out to the right places, to the right people. Good. This hasn't changed in 2,000 years. You know that's still a problem today. Man, I give this money and I don't know where it's going. Who knows? Guy's bankrolling. You all act like you've never heard that or ever thought that. I even have questions about myself sometimes. Do you know how serious this is? Seriously, I get gifts from churches sometimes, and I have to literally talk to the Lord. Man, I hope, you know, I want to use this the right way and call him up. Why did you give me so much money? Hey, use it any way you want, brother. Thank you. Because I do not want to misuse or misappropriate not $1 because I have to answer to a holy God. And I would not want to be in the shoes of a missionary that's misappropriating funds that are coming from churches. That's exactly what's going on in this program. So he's saying, hey, this is nothing new, folks. It's up to the missionary to be right before God, to do what's right with the money. Just like Paul said, we will definitely do what's right with that gift you've gotten together for us to serve and to minister to the saints. So it's all right there. Everything that we deal with on a daily basis, everything we think about, or maybe you haven't thought about it because you're on a much higher plane than I am, but my people back home, them Floridians, you know, they're very skeptical. Most missionaries. Look at that smile, see? Bad. Seriously, they'll judge you. They'll judge a book by its cover, how you're dressed, how you're talking. What? I caught one right here. So thank you. One honest one in the crowd. Now she's embarrassed. Okay. Seriously, can't we just talk about it a minute? I mean, that's why we're here, right? Because this is something we're totally invested in. This is what makes this church so wonderful, is your mission giving and your mission outreach program. And we all got to get behind it and get in it. Everyone, every last member should be involved. I don't care how much or how little you need to give by grace, some way, somehow, starting with yourself first, getting your mind wrapped around this and saying, yes, I want to be involved in the mission outreach program. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible's teaching. We all should be involved. It's a grace giving. It's a giving of grace. Jesus gave himself by grace to us. Now we are give ourselves by grace to others. That's the way it's supposed to happen. And however that you get wrapped up in this program, hallelujah, get behind it. Get excited about it. You say, I want to be a part of it. And then trust God with the results. Because the problem is, we start looking at all the bottom lines, and we look at all the figures and the facts, and I don't know, I'm not going to have a part of that. I'm not going to do this. You know, that's crazy. I'll send my money where I want to send it. And there's all kinds of problems in that. It's inherited in you. He gets the glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. His glory is in the church. You got to give your money, give your support, give your grace, and give yourself through the church. Amen. Don't do it out there on your own. Don't come up with your own program. Don't send it off on your own. Do it through the church if you want him to get the glory. Amen. That didn't cost any extra. I mean, that's the truth. That's Bible. That's what it's all about. And so you look at this program and you say, okay, now I see it clearly. Yes, they were doing this 2,000 years ago and still dealing with people that had doubts and wonders and what are they going to do with this money? We get together a gift, you know, and every once in a while, come on, you have to be honest. You think about it. Man, I would have liked to got that much. I got a gift like that. Would have helped a little bit in the hard times. Are we human? That's why he said our minds are in the wrong place. You stop thinking that way. Stop. Get our minds and out of this humanity of all of this and say, wait, this is God's program. This is God's outreach program for the New Testament church to supply the needs of the missionaries going out in to further the gospel. We're going to see that as it unfolds the rest of these two chapters. It's not hard to see it. There is a very clear program, and it involves giving, number one, of yourselves, number two, of this gift. It is a monetary gift. There was no doubt it was money involved in this gift, because Paul was really quick to try and defend. Hey, you can trust Titus. He's a solid guy. You can trust all my other fellow helpers. Good people. Love the Lord. You can trust old Gonzalez over there. I still haven't figured it out yet, brother. Your face is just... Listen, come on. I'm just trying to be real. All of us have already judged these two. All of us. I didn't mean to get over here, but this is what's needed. I think we have to get over all of this. Because we've brought this song down to a human level where we're all trying to figure out it's a spiritual level that we need to be on. It's a whole different plane. This gift of grace is, wow, man, I love the Lord. Wow, God has been good to me. God's been so good to me. I don't care what you do with my gift. He's been so good to me, I'm going to give this to you. And it's between you and Him what you do with it. And I need to think that way and be okay with that and just give it with a heart of love. This is proving my love to you. I want you to prosper. I want you to tell all those El Salvadorians about Jesus. Hallelujah. And those Peruvians. Tell them about Jesus. Let them know that the love of God shines through the Morning Star Baptist Church. And we're willing to get behind you. I'm not saying, boy, I really blew everything. I don't even know if you like these guys. So I'm not speaking for you, church. I'm just using them as an example. I hope you understand that. I'm really getting in deep here. Help me out. But isn't that the truth? That's the way it's supposed to be. That, yeah. And we have to make up our minds, a willing mind, to just say, I am so excited about being able to participate in this. I just want to give something. I want to give. And we teach our little kids this, you know, instead of going and buying a whatever, LOL, or what, I don't know what's hip right now. I still am buying LOLs for my grandkids. What a waste of a... It's dumb. And so I sit there and sit them down and talk to them. You know, you could help a missionary with the same money. I can buy this thing. Yeah, so here, take this money and put it in the plate. How's that work for you? Never hurts to start young. Is this what's important to us or not? You don't think kids can see through all of us? They see what's important to us. They see where we're out spending our money and investing all our time, all our talents in other things other than the work of God. It's a shame and a reproach to me. And I'm only speaking on myself. I really don't know you folks. I do know you love the Lord and you love missions. So thank the Lord for you. But I'm sure there's room for improvement. I'm sure that we can reanalyze exactly where we are, exactly what we've done to this point. And please come back tomorrow night, because it's going to be very pointed about how much you should invest in this program. So let's stand together. Again, Heavenly Father, we just want to bow for a moment and say thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of this message. Even Paul dealt with the same kind of mentality. People doubting and wondering and thinking, I don't know why I'm doing this. Why am I giving this? Lord, we really do want to just turn that all over to you and just trust that we are commanded to give by grace ourselves, our talents, our time, even our money, to the furtherance of the gospel as it leaves the doors of this building. Father, help us to really, truly show that we love you and your word more than we worry about what's going on in this world. And that takes priority in our lives, that we're willing to give or to devote whatever it takes to get the job and the task at hand done. Help us to be better prayer warriors, to be better givers, to be better participators in all the programs and outreach ministries. And we'll just trust that your name would be magnified and glorified, and souls will come to know Jesus as their personal Savior because of it, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.